How wonderful is that, to see all of those wonderful young faces lining the entire chancel? Wow! I hope you got a good picture of that. It is such a pleasure. Let's start all over. Good morning!
Good morning!
Wow, it is a good morning. It really, truly is. What a pleasure to be back in this pulpit. I remember so well. Yes, I really can still remember so well. The first time I stepped into this pulpit as pastor in this congregation, I've always just loved the fact that I can see something that you can't, but which is important to every single pastor or preacher who steps into this pulpit. It's an engraving that's up here, right here in front of me, that says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Jesus. That's a great reminder to every preacher about what this is all about. So, as much as I appreciate being here and all of the hoopla over the 125th anniversary of this congregation, which I fully embrace and endorse and I'm going to enjoy the heck out of, the reason we're really here is to see Jesus each and every time we gather. So, it is truly a pleasure, a privilege, and I am deeply grateful to my friend and colleague, Pastor Paul Pingle, to the anniversary committee members for extending me the privilege and the deep honor of returning here to Grace Church. Ah, so good to be. I tell you, I'm not sure I can get through the sermon because I just keep seeing faces and stories keep popping up, and it's so wonderful. Ah. Well, let me do some bishop kind of stuff first. On this 125th anniversary celebration, I bring you greetings from 34,000 siblings in Christ throughout the Virginia Synod, another 3.5 million throughout the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And let me tell you just how important you really are to the life of the church. You've always been important. This has been a central hub for the Virginia Synod to meet in, to gather in, to fellowship in, to pray in, to worship in for many, many years. You're an important partner in the Southern Valley Conference of our Synod. Your dynamic ministry and mission is well known and loved and emulated throughout the Synod, serving this community in so many different ways. I am so proud of you. And every single day when you go to work, when you go to school, when you do the things that you do every day with people, the very way that you behave, the things that you say, they are all a powerful witness to the love of Jesus Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus. And you show them in every way that you live and work together. I'm so proud and so grateful that you invited all those folks who could come back and be part of this celebration, who you helped move through the process toward ordained ministry in the life of this congregation. It's nothing shy of remarkable. Nine people who have come through this congregation have entered into the life of ordained ministry in this church. Now, don't stop now, because I can tell you, we need them. So keep on doing whatever it is that you have done so well over these years and raise up some more. I know there might be even some on the way now. I like that. Well, I'm also thankful for your faithful lay leaders, all of you. Like I said, all those stories that keep popping up. But let me just tell you that there are ways in which the congregation's leaders who work here so diligently week in, week out, staff who are here each and every week, who provide so much to the life of this congregation, are also extended into the wider church. There are folks here who have served as presidents of boards of directors, who have served on our Synod Council, who have served in our state legislature. There are so many people who have served the wider church and world through this congregation. You see where I'm going with this? You really do make a difference. You really do matter. I don't want you to ever forget that. Finally, I want to tell you that Barbara and I are deeply grateful to be back here in your midst for the warm welcome, for the hospitality today. We're excited to be here and look forward to greeting you a little bit later. Maybe I ought to get down to preaching, don't you think? That's what you invited me to do, after all. Yeah, I know. Let us pray. Lord, grant that your word is proclaimed in truth and received with joy. Amen. This is a great day. Celebration and festivities and fun. And yet, I hope you're paying attention to the readings. Quite frankly, they're a little bit scary, right? I mean, and maybe that's maybe the way it ought to be. Because that kind of is life, isn't it? I mean, we have lots and lots of reasons, wonderful reasons to celebrate, including, of course, a wonderful celebration like today in the life of this congregation, our family, friends, and faith. But that's not all there is to life. Life can be hard too, right? This is where you nod and say, yeah, that's right. Wow, way to go. Yeah. It sure can be. Maybe it's the death of someone precious to you, a relationship in crisis, problems at work or school. And meanwhile, we may just be fearful of what we might hear next from the doctor's office, or our family life might be in chaos or be chaotic and uncomfortable at times. And that's not to mention all this stuff in the Bible that we just heard about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines. We've had plenty of that to chew on too, haven't we? Not to mention ice storms and power outages. How many of you are still out of power? Look at that. Wow. Oh, so sorry. Each week, we could tell this same story. Each week, the news hits too close to home with mass murders and catastrophic natural disasters, not to mention political and economic volatility. In short, there are times when it can seem, as my World War II Navy veteran father used to say, like all hell is breaking loose. Can it? It sure can. Sometimes that's exactly how life feels. So here we are, excited to celebrate 125 years of ministry and mission, but also being reminded that over that time period, this congregation has faced many tough times. Think about it. All the hard challenges, including economic boom and bust, two world wars, so many changes in this community, in our nation, in this congregation, in the world. Can I reminisce just a little bit? Can I take a little time to reminisce? You okay with that? Oh, good. See, you're nodding your heads now. That's good. I know, makes me sure you're awake. Barbara and I joined Grace Church while I was doing graduate study at the University of Virginia and working as a pastoral counselor. We joined this congregation because it was the place we wanted to make our home. And then I had the incredible privilege of serving this congregation for 20 years as pastor. We raised our daughter Jill here. It's an incredibly important place to us. And as I thought about all of that in preparation for what I might say here in this pulpit today, I recalled the 100th anniversary. I was here then, in 1993. I started to write out all the names of people who had been influential in the ministry of this congregation, the people who had been influential and important to me as pastor and to us as a family over that time. And quite honestly, it started to look like the telephone directory. I kind of had this fantasy of kind of naming all those people and saying, okay, I'm to the F's now. I'm almost there. Just hang in there with me. It was so many people, so many stories, so many faces that just came flooding through and emerging. So I thought, well, let me change gears. I'll do it in a different way. Maybe I could tell you some stories about some of these saints that keep flooding through my mind. You know, like, I don't know, Trip Franklin as a little boy. Or I could tell you about that time that Mike Myers said the most incredible thing. You didn't know that Mike Myers says incredible things, did you? Well, anyway, one time he said, no, I better not go there. So many dear names, places, people, covering hundreds of Sundays, every phase of life, major renovations and more. I could tell you wonderful stories, but then they would tell you stories about me. so I better just stop there. Instead, let's take a look back at those passages that we just heard and that are in front of you in that worship bulletin. What are we going to make of those? I mean, such anxiety. Daniel records a time of anguish. Hebrews counsels us to hold fast to our faith, not to neglect regular worship and mutual support. And the gospel text, it's called the little apocalypse because of the end time images and language that's contained there. We're being told a hard truth through these scripture passages today. And that hard truth is that no matter how high we stack our building blocks, you know, the ones that with which we try to save and protect ourselves, maybe it's money, maybe it's things, maybe it's titles, I don't know. What are your building blocks? Jesus, though, makes it clear that whatever they are, however safe we try to make ourselves, one of these days, someone or something is going to come along and knock them all down. You know the old joke. Question: how much did so-and-so leave when they died? Answer: everything. Everything. So Jesus says we should never place our trust in any human words or accomplishments, no matter how grand. No matter how safe or secure they may seem. Discipleship is about dying and rising. Luther called it the happy exchange. Christ takes on our sin, our death, our fear and anxiety. And in exchange, he gives to us his life and righteousness, his peace and freedom as blessings of grace, as a foundation for the future. That is the good news. We really are, as the old hymn assures us, safe and secure from all alarms. And yet, our brokenness makes it so hard for us to trust that truth, especially when all hell is breaking loose in the here and now, when times are tough. Jesus might just seem less powerful when we're facing a terrible diagnosis or frightening news reports or a long road of grief recovery. Well, church can feel sometimes like just one more false hope. Faith can seem illusory, which is exactly, of course, what the powers of hell want us to think and feel. Like it doesn't really matter. Like Jesus isn't really alive and powerful and present. And yet St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15 that if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, well, we are of all people most to be pitied. And as Pastor Samuel Zumwalt writes, the devil won't quit trying to seduce us away from God's kingdom, either by tempting and distracting us with treasures or by scaring us with turmoil and tribulation. And so Jesus responds forcefully, saying, when you hear war and rumors of war, do not be alarmed. Don't let those tough times, those big challenges or best-selling books, don't let those TV news reports or politicians or stock markets frighten or fool you or lead you astray. Do not put your trust in them. No. Always and especially when all hell is breaking loose, put our trust in the risen Lord, who promises to be with us always. We rest in the one who has known death, who was there when all hell really did break loose, and now reigns triumphant in heaven. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah, right? The one who will come again. Sir, we would see Jesus. For 125 years, the people of this remarkable congregation have rallied around that reality, around that truth, around that good news, and have been reminded to keep their gaze on the risen, victorious Christ who spreads his arms over all and says, death, destruction, fear, and foreboding, they do not have the last word. I do. And that word is, I love you. I forgive you. You are mine. When all hell breaks loose in our life, the church, the world, I want you to remember all those blessings of grace. Because that's God's foundation for the future. That's God's promise and plan. And it can be ours too, right? Happy anniversary, dear Grace. Here's to the next 125. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. And together we say, thanks be to God. And now we say, amen.